Perek Chavzayin, Pasuk Dalet. The first piece in Perek Chavzayin. It is when Yitzhak asks Esav to get him the tzayid before he gives him bracha. Hebedatol varechoto shiskehu v'kat Avraham v'inchol et haaretz v'lo tubal brit elokim ki hu habichor. So about this straight out. And this I want to emphasize, it's not for the fact that Leidim Mefarshim, and it's a very popular thesis in contemporary religious Zionist circles, and the Rabban is straight out that Yitzhak intended to give Esav everything. In other words, it's not Yitzhak, the way the Rabban views it, Yitzhak did not think that Esav was good for certain things and Yaakov for others, and that therefore he would like split it up. If you take the Nitzi, for instance, in the beginning of Perek Chavchet, so Nitzi has a theory there, and it's very popular in various contemporary circles, that Yitzhak never intended to give Esav the real bracha. Yitzhak thought that you should divide earthly and spirit, in other words, that Esav should be the earthly representative, the more political figure, while Yaakov should be the more spiritual figure, and what Rivka did was, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to combine. Yitzhak sought some kind of division between a political and spiritual leadership, while Rivka, basically, that's what she prevented. But it was never Hava, of giving Esav the spiritual mantle to begin with. Okay, the advantage of the Sefer Perush is it minimizes the error. It makes Yitzhak be much more. Yitzhak is much less off course than he is if you assume Pshusha Mikra that he was going to give everything to Esav. It also, of course, raises, and that's why I say it's Chavil at the moment. It also raises the question of, can you really assume it's such a concept of Birkat Haaretz, which and this cannot be divorced later on from Birkat from spiritual leadership. But anyway, the Ramban has none of this. When the Ramban sees it, Yitzhak was going to give Esav everything. He's the Bechor, and he was going to anoint Esav was going to become a successor for everything. Now, this the first time the Ramban raises two questions. Question number one is, of course, regarding Yitzchak. How could he indeed make such an error? How could he be a Buddhist? You can ask the question per se. You can also ask if you want. It raises really the issue of what level of fallibility can we assume in the avot? Can we criticize them? Because obviously, if Yitzhak was intending to choose Esav, and we know very clearly who Esav is, so some from another, it's pretty implicit that Yitzhak was making a mistake big time. And if you want to minimize, if you want the school of thought that tries to minimize the fact that the avot made errors and the like, and we can be critical, so obviously part of your strategy will be to try to narrow the margin of error by, as I said before, the more Yitzchak, understands Esav, the more Yitzchak is not trying to give Esav everything, only a partial bracha, the easier it is to justify it. The more he's giving Esav everything, the more difficult it becomes to justify Esav. So you have to choose then one or two strategies. Either make Esav a better person than he may seem to be otherwise. In other words, the more you make Esav the more you minimize Esav's evil and his negativity, Yitzchak will be better off. Or you want to adopt a position which is willing to be more critical of the avot. Now, the Ramban doesn't have a problem with that. in more than one place, he's going to criticize the avot. You know, when I say criticize, it doesn't mean that he thinks, chas v'shalom, that they weren't great people. It just means he thinks that here and there, great people can make errors, and includes the avot. So Rabban said, Avram Avinu made a mistake by going down to Egypt in Parshas Lech Lecha. That thought he made a greater mistake by the fact, and I think we spoke about this too in Lech Lecha, right? The whole story of Hagar and Hagar. Chatai menu Sarah v'chatai min Avraham v'an yichol ha'asot kein. And so Rabban is willing to say this every so often. And here's another example. So Yitzhak made a mistake. It happens. Of course, this here is a much greater mistake. And the Avraham Avinu, so the one here, Rabban is talking about sin, not error. Right? This is chet. It was the chet to do to go to Mitzrayim. It was the chet to abuse Hagar. But we're not talking there about a major decision. When all said and done, it's a minor episode in a much broader context. When you look at over here, you're talking about the most essential decision. Choosing a successor is the most important decision a person makes. I think a lot about institutions as well. You know, a person has an institution and he has to choose a. So you can make all kinds of mistakes. You know, let's say we choose the wrong masecha tomorrow. Or let's say we make all kinds of other mistakes. Okay, it's a mistake, but it's not the end of the world. But if you have an institution and you choose the wrong, you have a business, you choose the wrong successor, you can ruin the whole business. So, and this is what we're talking about over here. Basically, Avram Avinu, excuse me, Yitzchak, choose Esav, he can ruin everything. It's the most cardinal decision you make. So that, of course, makes it, on the other hand, so it's not sin, it's error, but on the other hand, so forth, it's an error in the most sensitive possible topic. Rabban was willing to say, "Ein lo bayayim ze." He's willing to come and say that Yitzchak blew it. He made a mistake. Esav was the wrong person, and he made a mistake. Just 1 second. Let me just add another point. This raises the issue, as I said before, how negative Esav is. Now, we'll see this hopefully in the second passage. Ramban is less negative in Esav than Rashi. You know, that should say straight out. He's less negative, which in a sense reduces some of the problem. But when all said and done, no matter if you make Esav into a less negative figure, he's like, he's still making a big mistake. Yes, sir.
Can you say that also Abraham made like almost the exact same mistake, and he would have chosen Yishmael had he not been told like explicitly from Hashem?
He doesn't try to. No, it's slightly different. He doesn't try to choose Yishmael. It's like this. There are two places in which he basically speaks out on Yishmael's behalf. One is the end of Lech Lecha. One is towards the end of Vayera. Vayera, so there it's clear. Yitzchak is Avraham is not arguing that Yitzchak is the successor. He just says, Rechmanos, that Yishmael will suffer in the desert. The first, so that's not, he's not trying to choose Yishmael. The first place, so it's true that he's trying to choose Yishmael, but that's why there's nobody else. It's not Yishmael versus Yitzchak at that stage. The Rebbe promises him Yitzchak, so he says, Lu Yishmael Yichel Fanecha. So it's a mistake, and I think we're paying a price for that mistake. But Avraham is not choosing the wrong person. At least he's not choosing the wrong person over the right person. He's at that point in time, Yishmael is all there is. So it's a point to think about, but it's nevertheless not quite the same. Also, Yishmael is not a negative. Whereas presumably, Esav is worse. Esav has a track record here, which is much worse. Yishmael at that point is 13 years old. Now, there's also raised another question. This is what I have to focus at the moment. Not only will the Yitzchak make a mistake or not, but the Yitzchak-Rivka relationship. Rivka gets it right. Yitzchak doesn't. Now, there must be some kind of breakdown of communication if she has the right answer. So either she told Yitzchak and she could convince him, or she never told him. So either or, we have here some kind of there's a dilemma here. What's going on in their relationship? What's the Ramban is? V'nir'eh shel gidel Rivka me'olam nevuah shema Hashem la v'rav yavod tzair ki ei chaya Yitzchak bepi Hashem yot tzlach.
Sure.
Now, a little parenthetical, I'll just remark also, there's another question here. There's a lot of cross currents in this passage, which is, how do you treat the relationship between the Nevuah and the beginning of the parasha, and B'chir Chavshis later on? Is Esav rejected because he's a murderer, he's violent, spirituality is beyond him, and the like? Or was it predetermined from the moment when we've got the Nevuah? Now, the truth is, this really is, it's part of the bigger question of Yidian Bechira, Bechlal, predestination and free choice. It's a question not only here, it's a question throughout life of every human being. But nevertheless, here when you have an explicit Nevuah, the issue is much more acute. It's not some abstract or unknown predetermined fate. It's she was told. It's a problem. But nevertheless, the Pesukim talk not only about the Nevuah, they also assume, or excuse me, they also make the claim that Esav is not deserving because of his personality and the like. So at the moment, I'm gonna set aside this discussion. I'm not gonna discuss this, but rather the Ramban's claim that Rivka never told Yitzchak the Nevuah. Because that's why it's inconceivable. That makes him he finds inconceivable that Yitzchak would have defied because Baruch was explicit directive. But if that's the case, that raises another issue, which is, why didn't she tell him? V'hine mitchila l'gida lo derech musar utzni'ut. Ki v'teilech yudosh Hashem shehalcha b'lo reshut Yitzchak o she'amra אין אנוכי צריך להגיד נבואה לנביא, כי הוא גדול מהם אגיד לי, ואתה לא רצתה לומר לו כך, כך הוא גדל, אם אתה שם תמיד לדעתי, כי מה בעבדתו אותו, ולברך יעקב, וניח יעקב בידי שמיים, והיא ידע כי מסוות זה לברך יעקב, מפי בואי שלנו נפש חפצה, או הם סיבות, מן תשם כדי שתברך יעקב, גם סיבות בקד אחר, אוקיי. Now, there's a real problem, which is, why didn't she tell him? Ramban's solution is to make improve things, to make things worse. Ramban says that she didn't tell him when she went to speak to the Navi to begin with. But she could tell the Nevuah because she concealed to him the fact that she had gone and spoken to the Navi to begin with. Then she wanted to tell him this because he was unaware of the original approach. That's option one. He said, option number two is that maybe she went with Yitzchak's permission, but simply she thought, there's no need because Yitzchak knows all this anyways. In which she assumed that what she knew, he was also told. The Gemara of Kabbalah also that what. Because Rachel tells the message to Navi, he tells it to the Nevi'im as well. Because in this case, it's a Nevuah which applies to both of them. So presumably, Matech Yidosh Hashem, so she had to go to the Navi, because she wasn't in Nevi'ah. So she went to a Navi to ask. She thought that Yitzchak, since he was a Navi, had received this, and there was no need for her to inform him, because presumably the Kadosh Baruch Hu had already done that.
Would the Navi that Rivka would have done him have been that if Nifi is somewhat radical to say that there is Nifuot outside of B'nai Israel or Am Israel, in that, like, we know Bilam is as the one, but we know him as the only one?
So here's an interesting behavior. So this is pre the Gemara there, if I remember correctly, that there was before Matan Torah, and only after Matan Torah it's like that. Before Matan Torah, so they were. As the Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Miflein anila mecha." So that's what the Dina got. But Shem Ve'ev and the like were considered the.
Why wouldn't Rivka at least discuss it with her husband? I was maybe not asked.
Big thing.
But yeah, at some point
over their life, they would have discussed it. Probably assumed it. I get that second. Even more than that, why would she not go to him in the first place? Because he couldn't have asked him. I think I can answer that, but let's go back to this and then ask me later on. It's easy. It's like this. I won't quite answer the question, but let's not answer the question, but let's try to figure out what we can take away from this. There's clearly a difference in the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka and Avraham and Sarah. Now, that in and of itself is an important statement. It's not, no, it's the fact that both are avod, tzadikim, kedoshim, but they're different relationships and different dynamics. It's not, you go sometimes to a spadim, you know, a various gdolim, like my father calls fill in the blank a spadim, you know. A tzaddik, a lamdan, a masmid, you know, and then fill in XYZ, you know, whoever happens to be the particular nifter of the day. And there's no attempt to, you know, characterize a person. People have character, you know, people have character traits, even if they are tzaddikim. Avram had a different personality than Yitzhak. Yitzhak, Rivka had a different personality than Sarah. The dynamic of their relationship was clearly different. Now, take for a moment, let's skip this, let's go further into the story. Avram and Sarah have an argument about, have two children, Ishmael and Yitzhak. They have an argument about the competition between the kids. Yitzchak and Rivka have two children. They also have a disagreement about the relationship between the two kids. What does Sarah do? She confronts Abraham, right? Garesh et hamazot ki lo yesh ozim b'din Yitzchak. You know, and she, or if you take in the previous round in Lech Lecha, V'tomer Yisrael Avram Chamasi Alecha. That's a pretty strong statement. But the thing is, it's all dugri. It's all in his face. Sarah doesn't manipulate Avraham. She confronts him. Time and time again, this confrontation. These 200 psukim, Midrashim, I think Adam may add one or two cases, but the relationship is based upon everything is above board, everything is discussed. In but Yitzhak and Rivka, you don't have that. Yitzhak and Rivka, there's no dialogue, only at the tail end of the story. You have his manipulation. Yitzhak has been manipulated. Now, I'm not answering why. First, I'm just saying what. What you have is a different relationship. Now, we can also say, I think, that obviously, and you know, I think it's, we can all figure this out ourselves, confrontation is always a better and a healthier relationship than manipulation. And, you know, it's true in our lives. It's true then also. It's confrontation is often difficult. It's unpleasant. You're hesitant. You're afraid of the response. It's always better to confront someone than to manipulate him. It's better to confront him and to make a small problem, to allow a small problem to remain a small problem rather than have it fester and then become a big problem, which happens often. But also, it's a healthy relationship. This is not marriage counseling now, but if you ever have a disagreement with your wife, don't sit for 20 years, but put it on the table and discuss it. Issues have to be aired out. Sarah disagrees with Avraham, and that now, I think we can also say, because it's a good relationship, she doesn't hesitate to do so. And now, she says, and every time that she disagrees or she's angry, so she gets it off her chest, she says what she says, and then the relationship resumes. She says, Chamasi Alecha, and Avraham asks her, or she says, Gersha Mazor Bina, and Vayera Bene Avraham. So they work it out. The only place where it's problematic maybe is the beginning of a Vayera, right? Lamazet Sachaka Sarah. You can give the matter some thought. What exactly is going on over there? But right, that's one real place where there seems to be an issue which is going through a third party. Yeah. Now, Rivka and Yitzchak, it's not like that. I said before, manipulation, not from Svara. The manipulation of the brachot in Parshas Toldos is the root of most of the problems in the Nesa Sefer Bereishis. Because from this original manipulation, the whole rest of the Sefer is manipulative. From here, then, Lava manipulates, Yaakov under the chuppah, right, with Leah and Rachel. And if you can exchange children for the bracha, so why not exchange it for a wedding? And Yaakov pays the price over there of that. The next stage, of course, besides his tzaras with Esav, but later on, Yaakov has trouble in his family, and everything there is also, he's manipulated by his children afterwards, with the Mechira. And of course, you have the Dudaim, first his wives manipulate him, then his children manipulate him, and continues down throughout the Sefer. People are constantly being manipulated, and the root is over here. Now, it doesn't make a difference. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin. What I'm saying is, even though it's a necessity, it's a b'dieved. And it's a necessity which bred trouble down the road, throughout. The moment this happened, everything later on is nothing straight. Everything is behind the scenes, is manipulative, is scheming, is cunning. There's no longer any. Nothing is dubious anymore. Yudama Tamar, if you want to throw another case. Even at the end of the Sefer, Mamash, the tail end of the Sefer Bereishis, the brothers come to Yosef, Avicha Tziva Lifnei Moto Leimor. Until this day, nobody knows whether he really was Mitzvah or not. We don't know. Is it an invention or is it true? I think it was, no one knows. If Yaakov really was such a Tzavar or not. Or Meshavim Pnei Shalom. Bekitzur, okay, now, we can say the following. Or let's ask, why is this so? We could say what? What is the relationship is different? Why? Well, let's just say the following. Avram knew Sarah. This is my assumption, but okay. Avram and Sarah went through thick and thin for decades. But some of the Pesukim and Bayeri describe how they've been faithful to each other. Basically, the impression you get, and this really is a little of, if you want to add some local color, but it's basically the way it comes through. They knew each other since they were teenagers. They grew up together. They went to Bnei Akiva and Yisrael, whatever you want to call it, together. They met, they had a common dream. They married young. And they went and they set out then to become idealists. I can show you in Yerushalayim 80-year-olds who fit this paradigm perfectly. They knew in the 40s and sang idealists that they came, they went to the chinuch, they thousands of talmidim nowadays. That was that. Now the relationship was also one of equals. It was based on, I said before, a common dream, a common goal, and also all the experiences they went through together. Yitzchak and Rivka and Yitzchak, first of all, they lack that common background. Right? Yitzchak never chose her. Eliezer chose her. Yaakov would later on choose with Rachel again. But she wasn't. It's like this. There were two. Leah wasn't chosen. That's a whole different story. And Rivka wasn't chosen. Eliezer chose her. Yitzchak was never actually chosen. But anyway, it was a shirach. And not a shirach in which someone sets you up and then you. Rather, it was a shirach in which basically the parent. So Rivka, they call it towards the end, and Nikrala Ma'arav and Nishalat Pia. Essentially, now that it really creates a different dynamic. And now, before the Netziv has a passage in the end of Chayesara, in which towards the end of Chayesara, and then the Perek of Dalet. He comments on the meeting between Rivka and Yitzchak. Right? The Pesukim say when Rivka rises, she sees Yitzchak, she falls off the camel, and she puts on a tzaiv, Mia Ish Hazeh. It's a strange episode, right? What does it exactly mean that she falls off? What does it mean that she drops off the chamor, off the camel, excuse me? You could say she was stunned or whatever, taken aback, but by what? It's so good. She sees someone in the field. Why is she seeing? So obviously there's some character trait there that she was very taken aback by. Not clear what. It could be, it looks like this. I think there are two if you want. One is to see, if I remember, the Tzitz talks more along these lines, if I remember. Yitzchak was a holy person. I'll put it differently, maybe an otherworldly person. You have tzaddikim, very down to earth, very engaged, very involved, very practical. You have tzaddikim who are really very ethereal, very outside the real. It's like this, very otherworldly, spiritual. It's not a question of lishvachuli gnai. It's a question of personality. The world needs these things. The world needs, on the one hand, people are very practical and pushers and people who get things done. Not only, also tzaddikim and spiritual people, gdoili, people with great souls who are very practical and very. Move things forward. But you also need those who are detached. And Yitzchak apparently was of this kind. So even though you could say, if you read Parshas Toldos, he puts together a pretty good business and he's very successful. But Afa Bichen, in other words, Yitzchak at that point, Lasuch Basadeh, he was going out for Yitzchak Dedut, he was going out for Avodat Hashem. If I remember it, the way it presents it is, he was very kadosh. Now some characters in Tanakh are described as kedusha. The Midrashim also at times really. I'll say the following. Besides with the two kinds I spoke a moment ago, you also have tzaddik. If you want, we also can talk about tzaddikim on the one hand, who are very much like us in a sense, not that they're practical or less practical, right? I guess they have the same struggles, the same yitzhara, the same. They have yitzhara to talk mechilos. the Yitzhahara, you know, for Batala, the Yitzhahara, you know, the Yitzhahara for the appetites. They're basically tzaddikim, what the Tanya calls tzaddikim beinoni. Meaning, they're not beinoni in terms of tzidkut. They're beinoni in the sense that they have the regular human composition, right, in terms of the struggle between desires and the like. You have others who don't have Yitzhahara. In other words, the tzaddikim who lack, you know, what the Tanya calls the tzaddik gamur. They lack Yitzhahara, or, I mean, it's like this, you know, we don't see, obviously, don't see such people often, but you can, at times, you see, I'll give an example. When I was in the army, there was one guy who was with us, his midot, Ben Adam HaChaveiro, was so astounding. And somehow we started asking him favors. Because to ask him a favor wasn't to ask a favor, it was to command. He would not refuse anything. So anything you would ask him, even if it was quite a serious self-sacrifice, he would automatically do. So it wasn't, you know, people often felt it was fair to ask a favor and give the person the free choice to say yes or no. But it was coercion. It wasn't asking a favor. He would have done it on the spot. So now you can see there's people regarding Ben Machaver, there's people regarding regarding sexual desire. You can Chazal said, for instance, by Ishel Kim Verlenu Kadoshu by Elisha, I think some phrase that Shalar carry me a mab or something like that. You know, Chazal talk about, I think read on the sea, if I remember, Rabbeinu Kadosh. Why is Kadosh? He never looked at it at his body. Now, Yitzchak was perceived by Rivka somewhere along these lines. Kadosh, otherworldly. And of course, you have to add to this the fact that he was Olat Tumimah, what Chazal emphasized, that he's an Olat Tumimah. That he indeed was Kadosh. In other words, his whole existence. Now, Midrashim had this idea also, in a sense, that Yitzchak, that because of the Akedah, he in a sense really was divorced from Olam Hazeh. In other words, that there was, the Akedah created a certain sacrifice, or if you want, let's not call it pride, but the Akedah left an impression. One of the more difficult Midrashim, difficult me emotionally, is the fact that he was blinded at the Akedah, which really means that he was killed, right? Suma Chashuv Kemet. That in a sense, that the Akedah learned, there's a huge price for the Akedah. The price was that he was Chashuv Kemet. Basically, in a sense, Avram really sacrificed him. So some others talk not that he became blind, but he became otherworldly, the Akedah. He became like, he sacrificed his body. He lived more kadosh. Anyways, the tzid has Rivka saw. It's like if you'd see a malach of something, you'd be startled. And it was, she saw there's something like with this kind of halo. It's kind of like malach almost walking there. Now, or to put it differently, now here's the she from her relationship with Yitzchak went to this. It was yirat hakavod. No, there was too much yirat hakavod for the relationship to be one of the equals. She saw him as a holy person, and he's too holy for her to treat him as a regular person. And because of that, so she couldn't confront him because she had yirat hakavod. It's like often you can't confront someone who you really admire. You know, could you confront the spiritual figure you most admire? Yeah, not always. You feel a certain distance, and that's one way of interpreting. The other one is to focus upon the age. Don't forget that Chazal had Rivka being very young. Okay, so Ramban himself talks, I remember, about 14, not 3, but because she's called a Nara, right? Nara is, and it's a connotation in the Torah. Yitzchak, we don't know the exact age, but Midrashim at least have Yitzchak being Midrashim have a 35 to 40 year gap between the two of them. Yitzhak is old and much older, and that also creates a the generation gap there. Basically, look for it differently. Yitzhak is the model of marriage. There's not one of is not one of equals, but of a mentor, and the younger she's much younger. She's he's different generation, different life experience. So also, she has trouble confronting him. Either way, Rabban is saying, you know, what Rabban says, your compliments in Tziv. If I remember, Tziv points out also there that basically she never really told him over all of the knowledge she had, which therefore caused the caused not only to be an error. I said before, it caused many, many prices down the road. Now I'm not saying. Of course, the last point is not about the beginning, but down later on, he may have been too sick and ill, and she may have thought because of his illness and his that he may not have been possible to actually confront with all the evidence and the like, because Yitzhak wasn't aware of what's going on. And now. Okay, that's point number one here. Let me now. Let's take one. I'm to feel onto the bottom there. Ki amra be'avato oto levech Yaakov. It's not much like this. Originally, she never revealed this to him because of the reason I said before. Now, so I might say now, you know, when the time has come to give the bracha, be'avato oto levech Yaakov. Yitzhak's love of Esav, he would have refused to accept Rivka's testimony. He would have. Now, notice what you have here. You have here the Ramban claiming that even though Yitzchak would have been told in the Vu'ah, he wouldn't have received it. He would have turned it down because he loved Esav. So look how Ramban is presenting here the power of love of a parent to a child, and how partial a parent is to a child. So it could be, you know, he thought he would be over in Chas Hashem, he'd be over in Nevuah. Maybe he wouldn't have he may have trusted Rivka, but it's a quite a far-reaching statement there in Ramban that Yaakov, so that Yitzchak would not have accepted him in Nevuah, or at least he not would. So either it says that he had very serious reservations about Rivka's judgment, and that she knows what she's talking about, or conversely that his love for Esav would. It's a very far-reaching claim. Now, think about it. I can't add much to this. Just think about it, what it means. Let's now, though, just add the final point. Ramban, throughout the Parshas Toldos, he thinks that Yitzhak really loved Esav. And did not want, as a foreigner, he wanted to give him the entire bracha. But most interestingly enough is, let's want to skip to briefly the Pasuk of Aleph. V'ani tamen. Now, let me add here the following statement, which is important. Throughout Tanakh in general, this is one of the most clear-cut examples, Rashi has a tendency to be more schematic and then two-dimensional. Meaning, Rashi's policy in a nutshell is, Yitzdiku et ha-tzadik v'yirshu et ha-rasha. Rashi usually has figures who don't, they're not quote unquote round figures. No, they don't usually do not undergo transformations. But also what Rashi would do is he would try to draw into sharper relief the qualities, the characteristics that the Psukim provide. If Esav is a Rasha, Rashi will make him 10 times more worse. In other words, you have to, you know, it's basically the contrast button Rashi will turn on very very high. If Esav is a Rasha, Rashi will make him much worse. If Yaakov is a Tzadik, he can make him better. In other words, there's this tendency in Rashi, the Tzadikim, to make them more Tzadikim than the Psukim would indicate, by employing Medrash, and the Rishayim making them worse Rishayim. He's building a lot of Medrash. I just said in Medrash, you have to have many, many, many opinions. Rashi is, for example, the voice of Mina Sadeva Hua Yev. Do you have Rashi there? What did you say there? No. Okay, Rashi is over here. He's mild. Vuayev b'ritzicha. Come on, the tamer kefan of shi lahorgi. Second, of course, Chazal and Moram Babasha say in the first paragraph they did 5 things, right? Harak tanefesh bal naram murasa. What else? What is the other? You say Babasha. He did the other things. What? You tezvav, you zayin, you tezvav, tezayin, something like that. Then end the first paragraph. No. Okay, it doesn't matter. Rashi will do this throughout. He will take that example, Bilam. Right? Rashi will always try to make. But in this case, Rashi will elevate Bilam. Rashi will elevate characters, or. We'll do the opposite. We'll knock them down a few notches. Over here in this parak, Rashi makes Esav much worse. And now the Ramban is less so. The Ramban would usually be much more nuanced. Now, let's take this for instance. Gishana Moshchab Bini, Vishon Rashi, Amar Bili Bo, Ein Derech Esav, Vishon Shan Shagur Befiv. Right? What Rashi has, Esav, is this kind of apikores who's been there. Avad Avodah Zarah is another one, yeah. Matzach HaNeves, the big three, no. Avad Avodah Zarah, okay, Kafar Ba'ikar, okay, B'kitzur, I don't have time to remind myself. Ein derech shem shal yot shagur b'fiv. Right, if I remember correctly, Rashi also bring the Medrash, that Yitzchak is blind because of the Avodah Zarah of Esav's wives. And okay, so there you go. Now Rabban will add here, V'ani tamea ki lo haya Esav rasha b'nei aviv v'la yachoshe b'libo k'mita yisadev libo latzayid. He didn't use Shem Shamayim because in the places that he was hanging out, he could not. But obviously, Esav was a big. Esav wasn't a Rasha, and certainly Yitzchak looks like this. At least Yitzchak didn't perceive him as such. Now, the most interesting is at the end of the whole story, when it's all over, Rashi says, the pasuk is, when Esav goes into. To get the bracha from Yitzchak, right? So Yaakov says, excuse me, so Yitzchak says to Esav, Ba'achicha b'mirma, v'kach b'choratecha, and then gam baruch yeh. So to which Esav responds, right? Hebrachacha tidecha avi. What's gam baruch yeh? So Rashi says, "Kan hodalo ala brachot," meaning Yitzchak at the end, in retrospect, he basically signed off what happened. In other words, when Yosef came and said, when Yitzchak discovered they benched Yaakov and not Esav, so he said, "Beseder, gam beruchiye." And what, you know, Yitzchak says over there, "I'm going to leave it stand as it is." The Ramban says, it's pasuk lamed gimel. V'anachon ain't there a chared charedah gedolah d'meod v'tzoek miyu asher imani d'varech oto v'yashlim tzaktol imor miyad gebruch yeh. This is another example from Ramban employs psychology. In other words, it's not human nature for someone to scream and yell that he was robbed and cheated and the like, and then a second later say, "Fine." And the chet chardak gedola v'tzoek miyu asher imani d'varech oto v'yashlim tzaktol imor miyad baruch yeh. Aval yeh ra'ui shekalelehu. ועוד כי היה עשיו צועק עליו ולמור למה תמחר אתה אבי ואיך יאמין עשיו. Now it also looks it doesn't look with any credibility. Yitzchak says Bachir b'mirma, and now he says but I give him the bracha anyway, so איך יאמין עשיו כי מרמה היה מתחילה באותו כי אתה יברך אותו ברצונו והנכון בעיניי Shulishon Hove. Excuse me, Hava. You have I think it's Havana Hove. You know Hava means? Hava means a makat, saka. It means a catastrophe. Shulishon Hava, Yomar, Miefo Atatse, Sheyachol Ramoti, Shevarecheyu. Vigam Shevach Kol Panim. Kedati ki bruchu v'tam. It's basically Yitzchak is saying, Yitzchak is joining Esav and screaming. He's not. No, it's the way Rashi has it. Esav is screaming, and Yitzchak says, "Sorry, I changed my mind." The way the Ramban has it, Yitzchak joins Esav into this common wailing. He begins to wail together with Esav. Yomar. And Gabruch Yeh means I recognize Kitadi Kibu O Tamo Gabruch Yeh Yal Korchi Shifshar Li Lahavir Bracha Mimenu V'zeh O Tamo Charadag Lo Shecharad Ki Yada She'avad Bino He'ahuv Lo Birchato Le'olam. The Rebbe has it. Yitzchak was devastated. Yitzchak was really extremely upset that Esav lost the brachot. He recognized that it was irreversible because it was nothing Ruach HaKodesh, but he was extremely upset, and all he could do was join Esav and together cry with Esav over the lost opportunity, the lost destiny. Ki avad bino he'ahuv lo birchato le'olam. The Rashi has, of course, Yitzchak at some point recognized who Esav was and wasn't too upset. It was like this could be Rashi, maybe more deeply, maybe a deeper ambivalence to begin with. But in Rabban over here, Yitzchak loves Esav throughout. And Kokol Yaakov, he doesn't consider Esav such a Rasha. He may be blinded to Esav's chatoim because of his love also. And the metaphorical blindness may be to go together with the physical blindness. But the Rebbe has it. Esav was loved by Yitzchak, and Yitzchak wanted to give him the bracha to begin with. Everything. He wasn't distrusting when Yaakov comes. Yitzchak didn't think that Esav, and he was wrong, he's using Shem Shamayim. And at the end, he's extremely upset. It's all lost.
Why didn't, if the Ramban is correct, then why didn't he sort of cancel the brachas for Yaakov retroactively?
Because you can't.
Is it impossible to do such a thing?
What?
Is it impossible to do such a thing?
The Ramban says, you can't. His Ruach HaKodesh says, the Ruach HaKodesh is determined that he may recognize, it may be even more interesting. The Ramban may recognize this is because Rav's desire, and maybe it's something Rivka tell, maybe Rivka does tell the Nevuah at this point, but he's extremely upset. Maybe it'll be that he recognizes this with Son Hashem, but he's upset. Avad lo b'no ahuv lo lamim. So, think it over. It's a train that's over. Think it over and...